Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
On this week's Cork 7000, from the 20th of June this year, any pilot who resides in the EU must hold an EASA Part FCL licence when flying any aircraft other than those defined in Annex 1 of the EU Basic Regulation. Well, I'm joined by Mark Dwyer of Flying in Ireland on this episode as we explore some of the changes and give you insights into the relevant legislation. Mark, great to have you back on Squawk 7000. And we have a particular topic we're going to look at in this episode. And it's all got to do with a date on the 20th of June, 2022. What's in store?
Yeah, there's a few licensing changes coming in from the 20th of June this year. So if we go back probably 10 or 12 years at this stage, the EASA published the aircrew regulation. And within that, under Article 12 in particular, there was a requirement written in there to say basically that if you fly an EASA aircraft, regardless of where it's registered, you need to hold an EASA license. Now, there was a provision in that regulation for various states, including Ireland, to defer that the implementation of that specific requirement until the 20th of June 2022. And most states in Europe have been doing that. With an exemption, but that runs out this year, so there's going to be a few changes for pilots operating, particularly on foreign registered aircraft and foreign licenses in this country.
And will you create the distinction, if you would, for us, please, between EASA registered aircraft and Annex 1 aircraft then?
Yeah, so you may remember a few months ago we had a chat as well about microlights and the extension of the microlight definition. So effectively, there's in the basic regulation under EASA, we've got something called Annex 1 aircraft, and these are types of aircraft that fall outside the European regulation infrastructure, let's just say. And they include microlights, home-built aircraft, classic aircraft, ex-military aircraft, and some other obscure types like aircraft that have been modified for certain purposes and things like that. So effectively, anything other than that is referred to as an EASA aircraft under the regulation. So that includes your normal certified aircraft like your Cessna 150s, 172s, Piper PA28s, basically anything with an EASA certificate of airworthiness.
Now, you mentioned at the beginning that there's somewhat of, been a derogation for Ireland over the period of years. Is there any chance of that being extended?
No, there won't be. So as far as the regulation is concerned, it's written there 20th of June 2022. So there's no chance that will be extended.
Now, let's take a couple of specific examples, because around the country, there may be the occasional American N-registered aircraft flying in the country and the pilot is on an FAA license. Are they likely to be affected?
Yes, absolutely. So even though they have an FAA license and they're flying an N-registered aircraft, they would still have to hold a EASA Part FCL license if they're resident in the state. So these rules that come in, when they do come in on the 20th of June, they won't affect visiting pilots, only for pilots that are resident in the EU. So so in that case, for a pilot on an FAA license flying an NREG aircraft, or even for that matter, an FAA license flying an EIREG aircraft, unless that aircraft is an Annex 1 aircraft, like a microlight or a home-built, etc., they will have to hold an EASA license. Now, one of the things that's been going on in the background, and one of the reasons that the initial delay was put in place, was that the European Union and the US were talking and developing a BASA, which is a bilateral air safety agreement. And as part of that, there's an element of mutual recognition of licenses, which means there's a bit of a fast track, I suppose you could call it best a bit of a fast track between getting a PPL airplane license from an FAA converted to an EASA airplane license and vice versa.
Okay, and we'll look at the specifics, I suppose, in a moment of people doing those conversions. And the other thing, and again, I'm only asking this for thoroughness, is that along with that, I'm guessing Brexit, G-registered aircraft, any big changes?
Yeah, I think that's going to be the biggest impact. So there are people flying around on American licenses and American aircraft, but there's actually a huge amount more flying around on G-reg aircraft and on UK CAA licenses. And since Brexit, the UK has left the EASA and the European Union, and therefore it's now a non-EASA license. So even if your license says, you know, issued in accordance with EASA from the 1st of January 2021, that's not the case, and it's now been transferred into a UK national regulation. So there are lots of pilots flying around the country on a UK former EASA license, which will now need to be converted to fly, converted to an EASA license, even if they're flying a G-reg aircraft.
So you could be the owner of a G-reg aircraft with a UK CAA license, but if you're a resident of this country in the Republic of Ireland, I'm guessing specifically,
yep,
you need the EASA conversion.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that conversion process then. We'll go back one step because you started with the FAA and N-registered aircraft. If I were to hold an FAA PPL and I also have access to an N-registered aircraft, what do I have to do before June?
Okay, so under this BASA, the Bilateral Air Safety Agreement, there was what's called a technical implementation procedure was published. And if you go to the Flying in Ireland website, and if you type in FAA or EASA in the search bar in the top right-hand corner, you'll find an article that I wrote for the website, which details all of this. In there, you'll find a link to this technical implementation procedure, or TIPL. And within that, it specifies the requirements, both to transfer from a FAA license to European license, and then vice versa, because it works for the FAA system as well. So effectively, the requirements are you need to, luckily there's no theory exams required, so the agreement exempts that. There is a flight test required, so the standard PPL flight test would apply. You would need to do an English language proficiency test with an English language assessor. And you would have to hold an EASA Part Med medical as well, so Class 2 or Class 1 as required. So that's pretty much it from that perspective. So it's a reasonably straightforward process. Because of the training requirements in EASA, you would have to do that at an ATO or a DTO. So if you do have an FAA license, you are flying an EASA type aircraft, regardless of where it's registered, you should contact the your local ATO or local DTO and have a chat with the CFI or the head of training there and take a look at the requirements. But at a minimum, it's going to be a flight test with some oral questioning from the examiner, an English language assessment, and a medical.
I suppose, you know, the other thing, interesting thing about this too is that many people will have held other licenses because they didn't want to get caught up in bureaucracy or even the possibility of a high-time PPL having to face another flight test. So that's what's on the cards.
Yeah, effectively, unfortunately. And it may catch a lot of people out because a lot of people, or not a lot, but certainly many people would have done a PPL in Ireland and then for whatever reason would have done their commercial exams in the UK and ended up being issued with a UK license. So they would have held an Irish PPL in the past. But if you have transferred your license out of Ireland to the UK or to another ICAO state that's not in EASA, then your Irish license ceased to exist at that point. So when you bring that back to Ireland, it's effectively seen as like a conversion. So if it's coming from the US, you don't have to do any theory exams, but there's still a flight test required and there's still the English language assessment and the medical.
Okay, so we've talked about the FAA. Let's look at the UK CAA now for the point of view of conversion again. And I suppose to remind people that this is for anybody who's a resident in the state who intends to fly in the state.
Yeah, so this one, so we could actually, we'll use the UK as an example because it's probably the most popular out there, but this will actually apply to pretty much any other state in the world. So it's effectively the ICAO conversion requirements. So the first thing, again, you'd have to contact an ATO or a GTO in order to do the training. You need to have at least 100 hours as a pilot on airplanes. So that's one of the requirements. And the second one then, you will have to do two theory exams. That's human performance and limitations and the air law exam. And then you're going to have to do an English language assessment, part FCL medical, and then do the flight test. So again, the PPL flight test as before. It's worth noting that the PPL exams that they do in the IAA, they only do them every second month. So I think the closing date is coming up very shortly for the next set of exams. So that only leaves one further set of exams before this June deadline. So there's not a huge amount of time left.
So you could technically find yourself unable to fly legally from that date in June.
Effectively, yes.
Mm. Yeah. You mentioned 100 hours. What happens if you're a low-time PPL?
Well, unfortunately, if you have a low-time PPL, you won't be able to exercise the privileges of your license on an EASA airplane in Irish airspace or in any European airspace for that matter. So you'd have a couple of options. If you have a UK license and it's relatively new and you've relatively low experience, you've probably been flying in the UK somewhere, so you would have an option to go and, you know, do some hour building there to get up to the 100 hours. Right. You'd probably have at least half of that from doing your PPL anyway. Another option, these requirements don't apply to Annex 1 aircraft, so you could fly microlights, homebuilts, classic aircraft that don't hold any EASA C of A, get the hours up that way, and then build. So when we say the deadline is the 20th of June, if you're not flying those aircraft, then of course you could comply, you could build the hours up, and then you could do the conversion post that date. It just means from the 20th of June, you would not be able to fly any EASA aircraft, regardless of where it's registered.
I'm just thinking, because of course it's a real thing in this country that some people will have driven up maybe to Newton Arts to do their flying rather than to fly somewhere else. And they now may be in that situation where they want to fly down here, but won't be able to.
Yeah, as there's plenty of people in that situation, and many, I think, would have seen the issue that Brexit threw up and would have decided to sully their license. So sully is a state of license issue. So sully transfer was effectively transferring your UK-issued EASA license to an Irish-issued EASA license. Now, the deadline for that was the 30th of December 2020. And, you know, it was a long drawn out process. There was lots of delays. There was, fees, licensing fees involved. So a lot of people didn't do it because they didn't foresee this issue. But a lot of people will fall foul of this. And like I say, a lot of people did go up the north and, you know, go to Newton Ards and do their revalidations. Mm. And up to Brexit, that was, you know, perfectly acceptable. The licenses were all mutually recognised. There was no issues. But now the regulatory landscape has changed, and this is one of the fallout from it.
I suppose for the people who might think that this is just, you know, officialdom gone crazy, you did say at the beginning that we were operating under derogation and this had to be sorted out soon anyway.
Yeah, it's been written in the aircrew regulation for quite a while. In fact, I think it's from when it was published initially in 2011. Of course, anyone with a UK license, I don't think anyone foresaw Brexit happening. True. So that would never have crossed anyone's mind. But certainly it's been on the cards for a while. And it's unfortunate now that the a lot of people are being caught out with Brexit, especially operating on a G-Reg aircraft.
Anecdotally, are we aware of anybody running into any difficulties with this? Because I'm sure in the best laid plans of mice and men, things don't always work according to plan.
Yeah, I think there is. I think mainly one of the main reasons we did the article on the website is to try and promote or to raise this issue, because a lot of people haven't seen it coming. And, you know, this BASA, the technical implementation procedure, was only published in May last year. That gave us kind of a fast track from an FAA license to a European license. So yeah, I think it's going to affect a lot of people over the next few months. So the advice is to really have a look at that article on the website. The IAA also have a frequently asked questions section on their website in relation to it. Talk to your local ATO or GTO and see how it affects you. And if you need to go get the exams done, then get the required theory from your ATO and get the exams out of the way.
Well, the other thing, Mark, of course, we know is that we have people listening in over 32 countries to Squawk 7000. And if any of those pilots decide to visit Ireland, what's going to be the requirement for them?
Okay, so if they're operating outside, so if they reside outside of the European Union, then the standard ICAO rules apply. So if they're visiting on an FAA license and an NREG aircraft, then there's no issues. They can fly in and out as normal. Same thing from the UK. If you reside in the UK, you get a UK issued license and a GREG airplane, you're more than welcome to come and tour the country, and there's no issues with licensing there. So this is purely for people who reside in the state. Or reside in the EU, I should say, be more accurate. There's also an option of a validation. So validation is where you can get your foreign license validated for a period of 1 year, and that would allow you to operate on your foreign license in Ireland on an EASA aircraft. I would have to probably advise people against that for a number of reasons. One, the requirements to get a validation are almost identical to actually getting the license itself. Right. You still have to do the exams, you still have to do the flight test. So if you're going to go to that effort, you might as well just go and get the process done and dusted and get it out of the way. The other thing people need to be careful of, especially for any budding commercial pilots, is that you can only ever be issued with one validation in your lifetime. So a lot of airlines rely on validations. For example, if there's an Irish AOC looking for a UK AOC, you could operate on a validation for 1 year flying on that AOC, and vice versa. If you use your validation for your PPL, that means you can't use it for your commercial license in future. So it might, you know, end up costing you money or even a job in future. So with the requirements, I think the best course of action, if you need to change your license, is just to go ahead and do it.
We'll be back with more after this short break.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I suppose, you know, as we come towards the end of this chat, and I want to talk to you about something else in a moment, but how do you apply for this? Like, what's the process? I will be directing people out to flyinginireland.com anyway, and you have some links there.
Yeah, that's right. So the links are all in there. The best thing to do, as I said, is to contact your DTO. So I'm the head of training at the Funfly Aerosports Flying Club in Clonbillogue. So if you have any questions, In relation to that, send me an email, info@funfly.ie. If you want to do the conversion with us, you can come down to Clonbeloge, or at least we can chat by email or by phone in advance, so we can look at the requirements and we can see what they are specifically for your case. In terms of applying for it then, once you talk to your DTO, the first thing really to do is to get the exams out of the way, because they're probably going to take the longest. So you may need a bit of revision of airline human performance, and lots of the ATOs and DTOs around the country will be able to help with that, and then do the exams themselves. If you also have a look at the IAA website, you see a list of air medical examiners. If you don't have a an Irish or a Part Med European Class 1 or Class 2 medical, and also an English language assessor. So in Funfly, we have an ELA examiner in-house. So again, you can contact us there and we can organize the English language assessment as required. And then for the flight test itself, it's a standard Appendix 9 flight test. So like we all did when we did our PPL. Mm-hmm. But there's a special form that needs to be completed. There's one specifically for the FAA conversion, because there's specific requirements that are outlined in that tuple document. And then there's a separate ICAO conversion for every other license, including the UK. So, yeah, the best advice would be to contact your ATO, DTO, have a look at that article on the website, and then you can contact us at Funfly if you need to.
Well, fantastic that you actually have been across all of this information for the rest of us. Now, you've brought up Funfly, and that brings me to the next thing I want to chat to you about, which is the Funfly Wings Award.
Yes, that's right. So we launched this couple of weeks ago now, and it's modeled on some of the other Wings Awards that they have in other parts of Europe that have been quite successful. So I think we'd probably all agree that when we got our PPL, we kind of lost the focus. So, you know, when you're doing your flight training, you're always looking forward to that qualifying cross country and then the mock flight test and finally the skills test. And we all go flying and bring our friends, family flying for a few hours. But after that, kind of interest wanes a little bit, and it's hard to, you know, when you're burning holes in the sky, it's hard to stay focused unless maybe you're going on to do commercial or whatever the case may be. So what we developed at Funfly is the new Funfly Wings Award with three stages, so three levels, bronze, silver and gold. And the idea here is to give people who have their PPL or any license for that matter, to give them some targets to aim for. So it could be an extra qualification, like a tailwheel differences training, could be a night rating, could be an instrument rating, could be a seaplane rating, or conversion to, you know, a few different types of aircraft. Right. Then also some on the education side, to attend some seminars. So GASCI, the General Aviation Safety Council, run some safety evenings throughout the year. GASCO as well in the UK offer some online. And there may be others that might pop up that might be relevant that we'll put on the website. There's also a navigation element to it, where we encourage people to go on across country. So for your PPL, there's 150 nautical miles, stop at two places. So for the bronze award, we've said 200 nautical miles. So plan a Navex, that's 200 nautical miles, stops at two airports, and go to somewhere you haven't been before. But really, we're trying to offer pilots here a target, something to aim for. And they'll get a qualification at the end of it from us, a certificate and a nice bronze, silver or gold wings.
That in itself, as you say, gives people something to do when you're looking at the, maybe hopefully a nice summer ahead and deciding, well, maybe just I won't go for the 100 euro burger this time to for the airport. I'll actually make it part of an award system.
Yeah, and if you want more information, so this, we've put together a great video which highlights the various different levels, and we've details on the Funfly website. So if you go to funfly.ie, and you'll see in the menu along the top of the page, you'll see Funfly Awards. If you click on that, it'll go in with the details of the bronze, silver and gold awards, and then some examples of the qualifications of the safety seminars you could attend, and details of the hours requirement and navigation challenges. And then if you think it's something you're interested in, and I would encourage people to do it, it's free for Funfly members. There's only a 15 euro charge for administration for non-Funfly members, and you only pay that when you've completed the challenge. So all the information is there. Hopefully a lot of the flying clubs find it interesting and might encourage their members to do it as well. But the details are on the website. We've a small form to fill in just to register that you're doing the award, and we're officially kicking it off on the 1st of April. So any hours counted before the 1st of April will count, but the navigation challenges and the safety evenings will be from the 1st of April onwards.
So you can't bring an old Airbus or 737 cross country with you to the awards?
No, I'm afraid not.
Well, it's 100 hours to register for the bronze and 50 P1 by the time you're ready for it. I've already put my application in, so I'm very much looking forward to
I should probably do it myself.
Yeah, you go for the gold straight away.
Well, I think it's only fair that we do it in order. We'll start with bronze and then silver and up to gold at last.
There's no shortcuts.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
Mark, thank you very much indeed. People can get all the details on flyinginireland.com. And of course, if you want to find out about some of the awards as well, just go to funfly.ie. And Mark Dwyer, thank you for joining us at Squawk 7000. We'll chat again soon.
Thanks, Michael.
To get the news first, subscribe now to Squawk 7000 on your favorite podcast platform.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.